What will the French president's second term look like? Emmanuel Macron is re-elected, but only after defeating the far right and gaining votes from people who chose him reluctantly. How will he deal with a divided electorate? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohamed Jemjoum. Emmanuel Macron is re-elected president of France for a second term. He's the first person in 20 years to achieve the feat. But the result from the second round runoff seems more a sigh of relief than a grand victory. Macron defeated Marine Le Pen, who achieved the strongest ever result for a far-right candidate. 28% of eligible voters didn't cast a ballot. That's the highest abstention rate since 1969. Macron promised to be a president for everyone, including those who only voted for him to keep Le Pen out. Attention now turns to the legislative elections in June. Both the far right and far left hope to win more seats and put pressure on Macron's agenda. Bernard Smith reports from Paris.
Emmanuel Macron gambled that a short but intense election campaign would be enough. It was. His comfortable margin of victory over Marine Le Pen gives him a second term at the Élysée Palace. Only two presidents before him have managed that. In his victory speech, Macron promised that his next five-year term would be different.
This new era will not be a continuity of the five previous years, but the collective invention of a revised method for five better years for our country and our youth.
For his supporters, this is a win that endorses what they believe is their country's role at the heart of the European Union.
I'm very happy. Up to the last minute, I thought I would have fainted. You never know in life, anything can happen.
Today, abstentions were significant, but Emmanuel Macron did a good job in the first years of his mandate, and he deserves to lead France again.
Marine Le Pen gave the far right their highest share of the vote in a French election. But her path to the presidency was blocked again by a Republican front. In other words, many voters who'd supported other candidates in the first round voted this time to keep Le Pen out.
The game is not over. In a few weeks, we'll have the legislative elections. Which, as we know, are a distortion of the political trend and create a risk of Emmanuel Macron concentrating all executive and legislative powers.
Jean-Luc Mélenchon, the far-left presidential candidate, took just 1% less of the vote than Le Pen in the first round. He wants his party, France Unbowed, to win enough support in the legislative elections that Macron is forced to appoint him prime minister.
To all of you, I say, do not resign yourself. On the contrary, go candidly and completely into the action. Democracy can once again give us the means to change direction.
The war in Ukraine and the rising cost of living were main concerns for French voters. Both issues will likely dominate the start of Macron's second term.
There probably won't be much of a grace period for the president, especially from the left, many of whom voted for him reluctantly. Macron has promised to raise the retirement age, make it easier to hire and fire workers, and reform unemployment benefits. Protests that scarred his first term could erupt again. Bernard Smith, Al Jazeera, Paris.
All right, let's go ahead and bring in our guests. From Montreuil, France, Thomas Guénolet, a political scientist. In Paris, Jazine Weber, program coordinator at the German Marshall Fund of the United States. And in Bath, in the United Kingdom, Aurélien Mondon, a senior lecturer in politics at the University of Bath and author of Reactionary Democracy, How Racism and the Populist Far Right Became Mainstream. A warm welcome to you all, and thanks so much for joining us today on Inside Story. Aurélien, let me start with you today. There are those who have said that the result of this election is a rejection of the far right, but Marine Le Pen achieved the strongest ever result for a far right candidate. So is it too early to celebrate?
Absolutely. I don't think there should be any celebration, to be honest. Marine Le Pen has broken a new record for the far right and for the Front / Rassemblement National. She has done much better than her father ever did. She has done much better than she ever did as well. So it's not a victory by by any stretch of the imagination. And I think worse than that, in fact, she won against a candidate who has spent the best of the past 5 years mainstreaming a lot of far-right ideas and particularly pushing a lot of Islamophobic politics into the mainstream as well. So I think while it may be an electoral defeat for the far-right is still winning ideologically in France at the moment.
Thomas, President Macron had attempted to appeal to the left, especially in the past few weeks, in order to win this election. Do you think we're going to see more attempts from him at a leftward shift going forward? Is he going to pay, for example, more attention to social issues going forward?
Well, if we believe what he said during his acceptance speech, his victory speech yesterday evening, he said that he knew. He was aware of the fact that millions of left-wing voters voted for him only to make sure far-right would not seize power. So, and that he would take that into account while framing a new way to govern. Okay, but what will he actually do? What he should do, obviously, is to try to create what we call a gouvernement d'union nationale in French, which is basically a specific global political union, national unity government with everyone except far right and maybe far left. So that's what he should do in order to bring political appeasement to the country. But we have absolutely no evidence that this is actually what he's going to do. That's what he should do politically. But we don't know if he's going to do that. Mm.
Jazine, I imagine this must have been a huge sigh of relief out of Brussels and also out of Washington with the result of this election, correct?
Yeah, exactly. I think it was a sigh of relief in basically all European capitals and, of course, also on the other side of the Atlantic. Because if we think through the scenario Le Pen as a French president, that would have been devastating consequences for the European Union, because Le Pen would have broken with basically all key principles of European integration, such as the principle of supremacy of EU law over national law, and also kind of the unwritten principle, but the very well-established practice of French-German cooperation on key issues. So yes, indeed, it is very good news for Europe, but also for transatlantic cooperation that Macron has won the presidency again. And particularly in Brussels, where France is still holding the rotating presidency of the Council of the EU, that means that we can most likely expect more initiatives from the French side and more also very ambitious initiatives from the French side over the next 2.5 months. That is the time remaining of this rotating presidency. And that is a good step to advance on many issues of European integration.
Aurélien, I just want to speak with you for a moment about the far right in France and the moment that they find themselves in right now. I mean, Eric Zemmour had campaigned on a much more extreme platform in the run-up to the first round of the presidential elections. Did his campaign make Marine Le Pen seem moderate by comparison? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, did his campaign normalize Marine Le Pen?
Absolutely, yeah. I think, in fact, Marine Le Pen benefited both from Éric Zemmour making her look moderate by comparison, as you said, because Éric Zemmour was a lot more extreme on various positions. In a way, he was espousing old kind of far-right Front National positions, which made her look more moderate, even though her program was actually potentially more radical than in 2017. But I think she also benefited from the continuous mainstreaming of far-right politics in France, which we've witnessed in the past 20 years at least, and that Macron has pushed as well further. So at the same time, Marine Le Pen, while she did not run a particularly very good campaign, her campaign was very ordinary, she benefited from actually both sides around her, who one of them making her look more moderate, and the other one making her look more legitimate and mainstream. So I think she, in a way, was very lucky with the way the campaign panned out. Zemmour also allowed her to avoid some of the flak I think she would have got regarding Russia and her links to Russia. And it seems that it's Zemmour who has suffered most from these.
Thomas, let's speak for a moment with you about what's going on with the left at this moment in France. What has this election cycle meant for the left? Jean-Luc Mélenchon, he got very, very close to reaching the second round in the presidential election. What happens now?
Well, you have to keep in mind that among the 22% among French voters who voted for Jean-Luc Mélenchon, all of them are left-wing voters, and half of them voted for him because they agreed with his platform. The other half voted for him only to try to get a left-wing candidate at the second round of the election. What does it mean? It means that 22% is not the actual strength, political strength, electoral strength of Mr. Mélenchon and his party. It is almost the total strength of the left wing, all combined in France. That's what it means. So those who think that there is nothing else now on the left side of the political French spectrum, nothing else on the left part than Jean-Luc Mélenchon, are, in my opinion, misleading. Because, again, half of his voters, in fact, are left-wing voters who would have voted for something else if it were not for the specific rule of the second round, as you know, in the presidential election. So now the question for the left-wing is how to maximize the results for the parliamentary elections. Obviously, the logical and reasonable path would be a complete unity, a complete union, a complete left-wing alliance with all political forces of the French left-wing. The problem is Jean-Luc Mélenchon and his lieutenants either said no to an alliance, they said that to the Socialist Party, which is center-left in France, or they said yes, but with conditions that were obviously unacceptable, because they were giving so few to their potential partners. That's what they have done with the Green Party. So more or less, there will not be actual unity for the French parliamentary elections, because Jean-Luc Mélenchon and his lieutenants prefer to be the kings in a lonely situation instead of trying to build a fair alliance. So it's a pity, but, you know, it's their strategic choice. They are free to do that.
Jazine, so now that Emmanuel Macron has been reelected, there is a huge sense of relief from the EU. But, of course, there are now the legislative elections that are coming up. And what I'm curious about is there a sense of worry in Brussels about what might happen in those legislative elections if his party does not keep its majority? What does that mean for his championing of the EU going forward?
So first of all, what we have to bear in mind in that context is that the French president has traditionally a big margin of maneuver for his action in terms of foreign policy, because what we call foreign policy a domaine réservé, so a kind of reserved domain of the president. So even if he doesn't have the majority in parliament, this would only have a limited direct impact on what he can do in Europe, because he and his team could still pitch the ideas and try to advance things on the level of the council, but also through the parliament. So that would not be directly affected. And also when it comes to defense, from the first side, that would also work. However, we have to bear in mind that, for example, the French parliament has to authorize every deployment of the French armed forces that goes beyond 4 months. And particularly with view to a potential deployment of French forces or a potential new deployment of French forces to the Sahel, because you know that France is now withdrawing from Mali, but discussions are already ongoing how European involvement and also French involvement in the region could look like. That could indeed become a factor of concern or of major interest. in Brussels and also in other member states. And overall, we have to bear in mind that particularly if Macron does not win the presidential the parliamentary majority, building consensus with the other parties and having good relations and working relations with parliament to get domestic agenda points implemented will take a lot of presidential resources, and that are potentially resources that will then be missing on the European level. So let's see how relations between Macron and parliament will evolve. Let's see whether the French, as they used to do, equip him with the parliamentary majority to govern. But I'm currently not very optimistic that his party, La République En Marche, will have this majority.
Thomas, it looked to me like you were reacting to some of what Jazine was saying there. Did you want to jump in?
Oh, respectfully, yes. If we look at the French parliamentary elections, your audience needs to know that for the past 2 decades now, we have had parliamentary elections a few weeks after the presidential election. And here's what happened again and again and again. All electorates, all voting blocs, if I may, got demobilized, you know, really, really a drop of the voting rate. But the voters that voted for the winner of the presidential election, they demobilized way less than the others. So in terms of actual votes casted, what you see is a landslide in favor of the guy who won the presidential election. So if things keep being the same, and they have been so for the past 20 years, we will see a landslide majority in favor of Emmanuel Macron in the next parliamentary elections. Not because there is an overwhelming support in his favor, but just because of what we call in French abstention différentielle, which would be, I think, in English, the difference of abstention rate between the different blocs after the presidential election.
Mm. Aurélien, Marine Le Pen, in her speech after the results were announced, said that she was going to fight on to secure a large number of representatives in these legislative elections. Does it look to you like her party could do quite well in those elections?
No, I don't believe so. I think Thomas summarized the kind of wider context very well, and I think it's even more difficult for the Rassemblement National and the far right in general, because they are again facing a two-round election. And generally, in the parliamentary election, not only there is more abstention that tends to benefit, or this differential abstention that tends to benefit the party of the newly elected president, but there also tends to be more alliances in the second round against the far right and parties dropping off from the contention to make sure that the far right doesn't go through. And this is why the Rassemblement National and the Front National have only ever had a handful of seats in parliament, except in 1986 when the scrutiny was changed to a proportional vote. No, I don't think she will do very well, but I think it will still be interesting to see actually if she manages to keep her electorate mobilized, or whether actually a lot of that electorate that she got this time around may have been also protest and will turn towards either abstention or towards other parties. So I think there will be lessons to be learned, but I cannot imagine that the Rassemblement National will do particularly well in the parliamentary elections.
And Aurélien, I just want to ask you about something you were kind of touching on there. I mean, the idea of this Republican front, that people will join together to try to prevent a far-right candidate from winning the presidency, is that something that's been stripped away by the result of this election? I mean, is that a concept that's sort of crumbling right now, or is it still strong?
It is certainly something that is crumbling, and I think this is something that has been crumbling for quite a long time now. This Front Républicain, this Republican Front, is no longer as strong as it used to be in 2002, for example. And, you know, we've noticed more and more of the presidential candidates calling to vote for Le Pen. We had one in 2017. We had two this time around. I think there's more and more hesitation as well on the right wing of the political spectrum with regard to alliances. So I think it will be, again, one of the lessons of this parliamentary election to see what kind of alliances come out. I suspect there will still be a semblance of a Republican front, but will be strong enough to prevent the Front National from gaining too many MPs. But again, yeah, I think it will be very important to keep an eye on actually how mainstream the Rassemblement National is becoming and how weak the Republican front is becoming as well as a result of the mainstreaming of far-right politics in France. Partly because of the actions of the mainstream itself, rather than just because of the actions of the far right.
Jazine, from your standpoint, how much has the war in Ukraine impacted what went on in this election cycle and the result of the election?
Basically, we saw when Macron won the war in Ukraine erupted, in, or when Russia invaded Ukraine in February 2022, then we saw that there was kind of a rally around the flag effect. So we saw popularity scores and intentional vote for Macron skyrocket, but later on it dropped down. And that is basically a classical rally around the flag effect that we see here, meaning that leaders in times of crisis or in times of acute crisis often are given a bit more credit or have a bit more popularity among the public than they would have normally. But we saw that Macron's score then dropped down a little bit, or almost to the level that it had before. So I wouldn't say that it has significantly impacted the campaign, because we have seen that the major topic in France here is the cost of living. However, it had, of course, an impact, even if that impact was most likely not as significant as the debates on the cost of living, because we saw, for example, during the debate between Le Pen and Macron, that Le Pen was really struggling to defend herself against the points brought up by Macron regarding the loan she still has with a Russian bank, her relations with Vladimir Putin that she has been maintaining since quite a few years. So there, that definitely has played a role. And when it comes to the question of capability of French leadership, I assume that also has played a role, because Macron has already manifested that he has the capacity to lead in that kind of conflict. So that might have benefited him. But in the end, as I said, the dominating topic here was the cost of living.
Thomas, from your perspective, what are some of the biggest challenges that President Macron will face these next 5 years, and what do you think his next term is really going to look like?
Well, the thing is, what he stands for politically includes several major reforms on the social and economic front. And by that, I mean reform of our pension system, reform of our insurance system, you know, labor market insurance system, and also a reform of our health protection system. The problem is all three kinds of reforms, it would damage the purchasing power, the living standards of millions and millions of Frenchmen. And as Jeanine already mentioned, the cost of living is already the major priority, the most important priority for half of the French population, which means that, in fact, the ends already don't meet for half of the French population nowadays. And to speak about the things the way they are, you know, on field, the price of bread is rising. The price of fuel is rising. The price of, in fact, most of the things you have to buy to feed your family is rising. It's not particularly happening in France. It's, in fact, all over the world currently. But what we have among democracies as a reaction to this situation is obviously a trend, a growing trend of basically voting against the system and in favor of the far right. If I may, and sorry for this dark tone joke, neo-fascism is the new black in terms of political trends.
All right, well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave the conversation there. Thanks so much to all of our guests, Thomas Guénolé, Jazine Weber, and Aurélien Mondon. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. For me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here in Doha, bye for now.